Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Steve Hankins, our speaker will be Dr. Jim Berg, Dean of Students at BJU. The title of his message is Quieting a Noisy Soul. The text is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. There are no announcements today, and so I can welcome to chapel and introduce to you Dr. Jim Berg. Dr. Berg has been the Dean of Students here at Bob Jones since shortly after Noah's flood, and has done a wonderful work. You know, the thing that so encourages me about Brother Jim is the amazingly positive attitude and spirit he has always maintained in the midst of what is not an easy task, managing several thousands of young men and women from 18 years of age to approximately 22 years of age. Can be beyond challenging. Parenting young men and women who are convinced they no longer need any kind of attention that way, many of them, can be a great challenge. But Jim has had a great contribution here as well, of course, in counseling over the years and in teaching. I'm really thrilled that he's teaching for me now in the seminary in the area of Christian discipleship. He knows a little something about that. Of course, he's an author of books that you've been reading and enjoying and benefiting by. New work, Created for His Glory, recently come out. A great work on rejoicing in the Lord and His great operation of redemption in our lives. Dr. Berg, please come ahead and preach for us now this hour.
Thank you, Dr. Hankins. You mentioned about the job responsibilities over the years. Sometimes people tell me, boy, I'm glad I don't have your job as Dean of Students and deal with all that discipline. And I tell them, I'm glad you don't have my job either, because I don't know what I'd do if you had my job. I love my job. I love the ministry. It just goes to show you the Lord's wisdom in all things. He's created every one of us for exact purposes. And when we're in His will and attempting to do it His way, the ministry is a delight. It is a joy. That doesn't mean you're not tired or that you don't have a lot of distractions. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The message is entitled, Quieting a Noisy Soul. Quieting a Noisy Soul. I preached this to the university family back in November. And I want us to look at Matthew 11 here for a few moments. Let me take an informal, unscientific survey this morning. Some of you are about the end of some of your education here and some of your physical stamina. How many of you, really be honest here, how many of you almost are feeling like you can't take another step? You're physically just exhausted. Anybody like that? Okay, I have my hand up here. Okay, all right. The faculty are like that. What are the students? We're not working you hard enough, all right? Secondly, how many of you have felt or maybe are feeling right now, I'm not sure I can just take another spiritual problem, another pressure coming from my ministry or from other things. I mean, my circuit breakers are popping and my wagon is dragging, and I think if somebody else brought in another problem, I'm going to have a problem. Anybody feel, you're close to that? All right. Well, Matthew 11, 28 to 30 is a prototype of peace here. And, I think if we're honest with our own souls and as we look at the lives of the people that we minister to, many believers, most believers, don't have much rest in their souls. And that's a tragedy because this is what our Lord offers us, is rest and peace. Noise in the physical realm consists of waves. And I won't give you physics lessons here, mainly because I'm not even qualified to do it on that level, except to say noise, I think, as most of us remember, sound, as we remember from our high school physics classes, consists of waves, ripples that are disturbed by one thing or another. Noise in the soul consists of thoughts. Noise in the soul consists of thoughts. So the first question before us is, what does noise in the soul sound like? And we go to Matthew 11 here. Jesus said, come unto me, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I realize that perhaps that the primary thrust of our Lord's invitation here is for salvation. But the effects of salvation are ongoing in a sanctification process for us as well. And every single thing he says about coming unto him for the rest and the peace with God is the same for peace of God. If you know how to be saved from your most eternal, dangerous crisis, that is the pattern for how you're saved from every other crisis in life. And so while I recognize that that's perhaps the primary teaching here, I think it has some very powerful secondary applications for us. He says, come unto me, all you that are weary, meaning beaten down there. The word kapiao stresses a weariness at labor. We would say taking a beating. In fact, the root of kapiao, kapas, means to take a beating or a pounding. And there are times when we feel like that. We feel physically and mentally like we are just taking a beating. That's what he says. Now, all of those of you who feel like you're taking a beating, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And the word there is burdened down, like loading a ship, overloading a ship. And the keel is dragging in the sand because the ballast is too heavy. Physically, it means we're sustaining exertion of the outer man, fatigue, illness, and we need rest now. No, not during chapel here. Don't take a physical rest here during chapel. But that's the intent. Physically, beaten down and burdened. Spiritually, we can be beaten down and burdened. The sustained exertion on the inner man. And this is where I want to focus our attention this morning. The primary context of our Lord's appeal here is spiritual for salvation and discipleship. And I think we have to ask ourselves, what sounds disturb our souls? What sounds disturb your soul? What are the waves like inside? What are the thoughts like inside your soul? When one of my daughters was very young, 3 or 4 years old, we were sitting on an aisle in church, and my wife was talking with a lady who was in the aisle and was talking with my wife, and my daughter was seated on the other side to her. And this lady just went on and on and on and on and on and on and on about a long whatever. I don't know the nature of the problem or whether it was just telling how she got something at a special sale, but it just was nonstop. And remember our third grader, she was in third grade at that time. After this lady had left, she turned to her mother and she said, "Mommy, that lady has a lot of words." And that's true, that lady has a lot of words. But you know, noisy souls have a lot of thoughts. And I'm just going to give you 9 categories here real quickly to just kind of a checklist on what sounds are like. There are sounds of anxiety and fear. Sounds of anxiety and fear. Those are the thoughts of worry. The ones that keep coming. Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if this doesn't go right? And what if she does this? And what if he doesn't do this? That's noise. The what ifs. The worry. Thoughts of vulnerability in this. Of uncertainty. Thoughts of fear of failure. What if this doesn't go well? What if I get up there and forget what I'm doing? What if I, you know, what? All of these what ifs. These are sounds of anxiety and fear. I have to have everything right. What if it's not just right? We can get in. Some of us who are more perfectionistic can get into the paralysis of analysis. We are analyzing everything so much we never get anything done. I know people who won't clean out their house because they're so perfectionistic they can't decide whether it's good stewardship of this to throw out this thing that they have had for 20 years or not. And so their house is an utter shamble. You know why? Because their life is filled with noise. A lot of fear of failure. Sounds of discouragement and despair. Those are thoughts of hopelessness, of defeat, of self-pity. Why does this always happen to me? Why can't I get help? Why can't people pay more attention? Third category, sounds of anger and frustration. Anger and frustration. Those are thoughts of hurt. How people have let me down. And this is too much. And I don't like this. And thoughts of demands. I will not be a happy camper until this happens. Thoughts of thwarted goals. I had all of this and then somebody stood in my way. And those are sounds of anger and sounds of frustration. Number 4, sounds of bitterness and hatred. Thoughts of the injustice of how I have been done wrong. Thoughts of contempt. Perhaps of somebody who's messed up. Thoughts of revenge. I'll teach them a lesson or two. I'll show you. We can do that with our kids. I'm going to teach him a lesson he'll never forget. You know what that is? That's revenge. That's not discipleship with our kids. That's revenge. Sounds of lust and greed. Sounds of lust and greed. These are thoughts of more possessions. I have to have something else. And more pleasures. Thoughts of illicit indulgences. Thoughts of unrestrained freedom. Thoughts of, you know, if I just didn't have this kind of limit on me. Those are sounds of lust and greed. Sounds of obsessions and addictions. Those are thoughts of habitual rituals, things I have to do all the time. Thoughts of self-imposed demands. A lot of perfectionism comes in there. Of secrecy and covering up. Thoughts of those natures. Because people wouldn't, I mean, if they found out about this, this would be a problem. It takes a lot of thoughts to deal with those issues in our lives. Sounds of competition and comparison. Thoughts of criticism. Of exploitation. Of superiority. Thoughts of guilt, sounds of guilt and shame over the categories above even. Thoughts of sinfulness, thoughts of remorse, thoughts of embarrassment. And instead of dealing with these sounds at their root, as we're going to look at, we often do a lot of things to mask the noise. And that ends up creating a lot of sounds of entertainment and recreation. One way we do a lot of masking noise. Thoughts of movies and TV. You know, you can watch a movie for... You know, you watch a video for 3 hours. And then what's happening to your thoughts for several hours after that? You're going back over the scenes. You're thinking about this or whatever. You know what you've done? You've just added more noise to your soul. Instead of giving any rest to your soul, it's just merely masked one noise with something else. A lot of diversions. Thoughts of movies and TV, of music and concerts, of sports and video games, of news and adventures. And we do a lot of indulgence in these diversions to mask the noise in our souls. And the collective noise is deafening. It's not just a few ripples on the beach. There are waves crashing against our soul, and we wish we could take this mess out of our head, put it on the table, this mess of scrambled eggs up here, and sort it into the right piles and put it back up. And we just never seem to be able to get all that together. We've got to get rid of a lot of noise. Now, as I've gone through this list, these are issues that most of God's people are overwhelmed with most of the time. And then we wonder, why don't we see more strength? Why don't we see more answered prayer? Why don't we see more faith in God? Because people's minds are filled with noise. And one purpose for the list is simply a little bit of a self-diagnosis. And notice that all of these are self-imposed agitations. All of these are self-imposed. And that, folks, those noises in the soul are signs of spiritual dysfunction. Our Lord didn't have noise in His soul. He didn't have noise of anxiety and fear and noise of depression and despair and noise of entertainment and recreation and noise of guilt and shame. Those are all characteristics of spiritual dysfunction. It's a sign that we are filled with our own responses, our own agendas, our own ideas. God-centered souls are not noisy. They are at rest. At peace, even when life is busy. Our Lord spent 3.5 years launching this ministry that was going to go on to the end of the world, and he didn't run through this 3.5 years like a chicken with his head chopped off. Here's what He said to us when He left in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, My peace, what you have seen in Me, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I said, I have a different agenda for your soul. But before we look at that cure, we need to ask ourselves, point B, what are the dangers of noise in the soul? What are the dangers of noise in the soul? Well, number one, they're physically destructive. And this is not the most important thing, but it's often the most obvious. They are unhealthy. Stress-related illnesses and complications come about is that anytime we're anxious and nervous and upset and driven, folks, we are engaging our autonomic nervous system. We are keeping our body in emergency mode. And it's dumping adrenaline into everything. Now, your body's only going to put up with that so long. I'm increasingly concerned about the number of high school students and college students with stress-related illnesses. And when we begin talking about the noise in their souls, their minds and their hearts are filled with noise. And already at 20, it is affecting severely their bodies. Wait till they're 50. It's going to be an enormous problem. I tell the students, this is kind of like parking your car in the garage, putting on the emergency brake, turning on the engine, putting your foot to the floor on the throttle, and just sitting there like that with the engine at full bore for about 30 minutes. Something's going to melt down. And that's exactly what happens to our body when we pour all of that adrenaline and all of those other hormones into it in emergency mode when we're filled with noise. And we don't sleep, and we don't eat, and you don't do well if you don't sleep and you don't eat. And what we do eat isn't very good. And when we do sleep, it's not very healthy. Most of this is because of noise in our souls. Many gastrointestinal disorders, cardiac difficulties, autoimmune system and endocrine dysfunctions, and sleep disorders are directly related to wrongly handled pressure. So, and that's not my purpose to go through all of those things, but there's a physically destructive effect on our body. God did not intend for our body to work right. I tell people, your body will rest when your soul rests. Your body's not going to rest well if your soul is not at rest. Now, there can be other reasons, genuine physical maladies that keep us from resting. But for most of the population that I'm dealing with and that you and I are running into, and for most of us, the lack of rest in our body is directly related to the lack of rest in our souls. Number two, that's spiritually destructive. We are unfruitful. Like the soils of Luke chapter 8, we don't bear the fruit when the soil is filled with all kinds of other things. And that's a whole other message in itself. But filled with cares and the riches and the pleasures and the stubbornnesses, the hardness. When our soul is filled with that, there's no fruit that's born. Students who get into serious trouble here, you find as you work with them, they haven't had time for God for weeks or months. And folks, life isn't supposed to work without God. That's one of His promises. Without me, you can do nothing. I mean, that's as good as a promise is that He's coming again. That is the way it is in His earth. And it can't be ignored. Noisy souls don't bear much fruit. So, point C, what is God's cure for noise in the soul? Here's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus Himself tells you and me, come unto me. What a blessing that is. This is not a God who's saying, when you qualify, you can come in. When you get your act together, you can come in. He says, you come unto me, all you that are laboring or heavy laden, and as I said, your circuit breakers are popping, and your wagon is dragging, and your axles are broken, and all of this kind of stuff. And He says, you are the one. Come unto me. Folks, you've got to understand, and we've got to help God's people understand the nature of our God toward us. He loves His people. And He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. The initial rest comes from restoring this fellowship. The continual rest comes from restarting the discipleship. And I'll take those one point at a time. First of all, He says, come to me, restore this fellowship. Jeremiah 2:13. The prophet said, God said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I love the message of Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy food without money and without. And he says, incline your ear, hear, and your soul shall live. This is the appeal of our God to us. You're bankrupt? Okay, that's what I'm here for. I am your God. And let me show you that I'm powerful. Restore that fellowship. I've got to go back to the fountain of living waters instead of trying to depend on my broken cisterns. Notice what He did not say. He did not say, come to the mall, all you that are exhausted and overwhelmed, and you shall find rest for your souls. He did not say, come to the movies, all you that are laboring and exhausted and overwhelmed, and you shall find rest to your souls. He did not say, come to the gym, all you that are exhausted and overwhelmed, and you shall find rest for your souls. He did not say, come to the ball game, all you that are exhausted and overwhelmed, and you shall find rest for your souls. He did not say, come to the party, or come to Six Flags, or come to your cell phone, or come to the video games in the computer, or to the game room or the snack room, or go out to the restaurant. He did not say to do any of those things to find rest for your souls. Now, is there anything wrong with most of those things? There's probably nothing wrong with most of those things in small doses and for other reasons than to find rest for our souls. Most of God's people are indulging in all of those things as the mask for the noise. And much of us in the ministry, a lot of our activity is simply the anesthetic to dull the pain of an empty soul. A lot of us, I shouldn't say most of us, but well, if I could just do a little bit more. What does he say? He said, no, you come to me. If we put this in the reversed standard version, it would say, avoid me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will deny you rest. Refuse my yoke of discipleship, and you shall find noise in your souls. And we've got to be asking ourselves, if we're the leaders in God's people, of God's people in these areas, are we doing this? And if we're not doing it, surely the people that we're trying to lead are not doing it. He says, come unto me. Starts with restoring that relationship, repentance. Going to God isn't a frantic, God, help me get this done. Help me get her back. Help me to get this in line. Help me to get that, help to get that deacon turned around. It's not just help me to get this back, God, but God, will you take me back? I'm coming to you. And he says, I will give you rest. And then he says, learn of me. Restart the discipleship, the learning process. And he says, take my yoke, this yoke of this continued fellowship with me, of discipleship with me. Take this yoke upon you. One commentator said, Jesus invites us to take his yoke upon our shoulders. The Jews used the phrase, the yoke, for entering into submission to. They spoke of the yoke of the law, the yoke of the commandments, the yoke of the kingdom, the yoke of God. But it may well be that Jesus took his words of his invitation from something much nearer home than that. He says, my yoke is easy. The word easy means well-fitting. In Palestine, ox yokes were made of wood. The ox was brought and the measurements were taken. The yoke was then roughed out and the ox was brought back to have the yoke tried on. The yoke was carefully adjusted so that it would fit well and not gall the neck of the patient beast. The yoke was tailor-made to fit the ox. That's a blessing. That's what I was saying before. God tailor-makes our places. When he called me to be dean of students, folks, this yoke is well fit for me. He carved it out for me for these last 22 years and however long he wants to continue that. He's the one who designs our yokes. There is a legend that Jesus, the carpenter's son, remember, made the best ox yokes in all Galilee. And that from all over the country, men came to him to buy the best yokes that skill could make. In those days, as now, shops had their signs above the door, and it has been suggested that the sign above the door of the carpenter's shop in Nazareth may well have said, my yokes fit well. It may well be that Jesus is here using a picture from the carpenter's shop in Nazareth where he had worked throughout the silent years. Jesus says, my yoke fits well. What he means is, the life that I give you is not a burden to gall you. Your task is made to measure to fit you. Whatever God sends us is made to fit our needs and our abilities exactly. So he says, come learn of me. I've got a tailor-made yoke for you. A yoke of ministry, a yoke of discipleship for you. So, and he's saying, take this yoke and learn of me. So when you take on this yoke of the Lord, he wants you to learn. What is it to learn? He says, I am meek. You and I have to be willing to be ruled by the limitations God places on us. By our physical condition, by our financial condition, by our environment condition, by the relationships of the people around you. I'm willing to be ruled by God's sovereignty in my lives and I'm willing to be ruled by this loving relationship with my Father. Every relationship has laws. You can't separate law in love and law in grace. Every relationship has laws. When you meet somebody and you find out they don't like this or that thing, if you really want to have a relationship with that person, that becomes a law. Thou shalt not do this in their presence or whatever. Relationships all have laws based on the nature of the person you're trying to relate to. We've got to come and learn of him and be willing to be ruled by his limitations that he imposes upon us because of his nature. And folks, Jesus Christ is not hard to get along with. If there's anybody in the universe who's not hard to get along with, it's Jesus Christ. somebody this loving, this wise, this compassionate, this concerned, this long-suffering. This is not a hard person to get along with. But it's our hard view of the Master that keeps us from Him, and our pride, and our sinfulness. And He says, you come unto Me and begin learning of Me, being willing to be ruled by My love for you. And He says, because I'm meek, I'm ruled by My love relationship with My Father. I do always those things that please the Father. I came down here not to do My own work, but the work of Him that sent Me and to accomplish His work. And He says, I'm meek, I'm willing to be ruled, and I'm lowly in heart. I'm willing to be little. I'm willing to... Boy, we generate a lot of noise in our souls when we don't want to be little. Especially if somebody else is imposing littleness on us in some way. Our souls get noisy. And that brings us to this, that the godfather of noise is pride. Pride whines and pouts. Pride shouts and demands. Pride argues and debates. Pride covets and grasps. Pride screams and retaliates. Pride shifts blames and points fingers. Pride lusts and indulges. Pride manipulates and schemes. Pride drives and obsesses. Pride worries and frets. Pride is full of self-assertion, self-protection, self-promotion, self-confidence, and self-esteem. Pride cries out, I will not, I must not, I must have, you can't make me, I won't take any more. And that, folks, generates a lot of noise in our souls. Pride can't stand to be second, to be ignored, to be slighted, to be wronged. And pride generates a lot of noise in the soul. We don't like being told we have a problem with pride, but none of us like to be told we have a problem with cancer. But you can't treat it without a diagnosis. And we've got to look at, what is this noise in our soul saying about us? Are we really coming to Him, our loving Master? The Master calls us. He says, come to Me. Learn of Me. Be willing to be ruled by My love. Be willing to be limited. Be willing to be little. And you shall find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, these are hard things for us when we are honest. Because so many of the things that happen around us and to us don't seem like they should be happening to us. And the pressures and the weights and the demands. And many of these things are self-imposed. Many of these things are in Your will. And You tell us to come to You. Thank You that You are the kind of God who wants us to come to You. And You've invited us to come boldly before Your throne of grace to find mercy, forgiveness for our noise, and grace to help in the time of need. Encourage our hearts, dear Lord, in who You are and what You are like, and in the rest that comes from sitting at Your feet, adoring who You are, resting in who You are.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Jim Berg, Dean of Students at BJU. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.